This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's a good reminder of something I think we all probably need to hear. Whatever you're dealing with right now, you don't have to deal with it on your own. Life comes at you fast. Some days you feel good, you're rolling. Other days, not so much. And I know for me, there are definitely nights where your mind just doesn't shut off. Nobody has all the answers, and having someone to talk to can make a real difference. BetterHelp connects you with licensed therapists. They'll match you with someone based on a short questionnaire, and with their experience, they usually get it right the first time. And if not, you can switch therapists at any time. They've got over 30,000 therapists and have helped more than 6 million people with an average 4.9 out of 5 rating from over 1.7 million reviews. If you've been feeling overwhelmed, stuck, or just not quite yourself, this month's as good a time as any to check in with yourself and take that step. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up with BetterHelp today and get 10% off. Just visit BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Logan, soon to be joined by Ari Wasserman of On Three Sports, and we'll get into his thoughts about Ole Miss preseason, heading into preseason, preseason polls. On Three just had their latest top 100 players. Ari's got his favorite players as well coming into the season. We'll hear from Ari here in just a moment. I want to say a special thank you to all of our sponsors. So of course, our title presenting sponsor, our good friends at Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Remember, that vehicle can be yours today, brand new. Just call them or use 234-8000, our talent and presenting sponsor. You'll see the sponsors kind of rotate throughout the show, and we appreciate everybody being part of today's show here on the Talk of Champions. Let's bring in Ari Wasserman. Ari, good to see you, my friend. Hope things are going well. On Three just dropped today top players, the 100 top players. College football, the talking season is here, and I know On Three and you guys with Andy and Ari have been on top of it as well.
Yeah, I think you got the wrong guy on. The real talent evaluator just dropped his today, and it looks like we might have had an agreement on the reason why I'm on the show. But like, I think I'll tell you is, let's just start off by me saying that I think Trinidad is an amazing player, and Kewon Lacy is an amazing player. And I think that Ole Miss is a team that has a real shot to do what it did last year again. So I'm super excited about what they bring to the table.
Let's talk about the top players for a moment. Let's specifically talk about some of the players that you think are excited about seeing. I want to talk kind of at the top with the players and Jeremiah Smith, the wide receiver out of Ohio State, and then Leonard Moore at Notre Dame, and then Malachi Toney. That's a player that Ole Miss fans saw up close and personal last year in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I feel like if 1,000 people made top 10 players returning in 2026 lists, that I believe that maybe 7 of the names would probably all be the same, right? And I think that those 3 names are pretty big layups. I think that Jeremiah Smith, you know, is the best receiver prospect maybe that I've ever seen, you know, and I don't know how that's going to play out in terms of his NFL career and whether or not he turns out to be a star in the league. I'm sure he will, but the measurables that he has illustrated since he was in high school, the ball tracking ability, the size in comparison to the speed, just the professionalism that this kid has illustrated since he was a freshman. Like, you just don't really see players come into college football that ready to be great and then prove it immediately. You know, I'm a hyperbolic person by nature. It's kind of a thing that I'm trying to work on as a human. But I think that Jeremiah Smith would have been wide receiver one on half the teams in the NFL last year. So, you know, I don't know that there's anything surprising about seeing him on my list at number one, and I'm sure he'd probably be on everyone's list at number one. Leonard Moore is a corner that, you know, is long and athletic and shut down to all shut down. And my hope is, Brad, that I get to see this matchup this year at some point, maybe in the playoff. Yeah. And then, excuse me, sorry about that. Malachi Toney is sensational. And I think that the interesting thing about him that might be different about a lot of the things or other players that are on this list, Brad, is that I don't know where he stacks up NFL-wise because, you know, size is a really big deal and he's not a very big kid. But in terms of changing a game by just being on the field, you know, maybe he's not the best overall player in the country, but I think you could make the case that he's the most impactful in terms of, you know, being able to turn nothing into something, to energize a team, to be sensational. You know, what he did in his first year, it was truly remarkable, and I'm very excited to see what he can do as he matures in the game, because you got to remember he was so young, and like Jeremiah Smith, he had an instant impact. So, you know, when you look up and down this list, Brad, you'll see players for the most part that have had long careers of proven, you know, production. You have some speculation. When I did this list, I didn't want to just review what happened last year. I think that's boring. Anybody can go to collegefootballstats.com and just look at who was the best last year. My intent with this list was to put a list out that I anticipate would be the correct list in December. And like, for reference, I'm not always right. DJ Lagway was in my top five last year of the same exact list, and that didn't turn out to be real good. But I'm doing my best to project forward, and I think these are the 10 players that I think have the best shot to have remarkable seasons coming up and memorable seasons in a way that they will be remembered as top 10 players in the country.
I'm generally fascinated with Arch Manning. We saw Ari last year, specifically the latter part of the year. He really turned it on. And so I can understand you being very high on Arch Manning this year. Steve Sarkisian obviously threw a little shot to Ole Miss in the basket weaving comment.
Which I didn't understand, by the way. I don't understand. Like, do you have the background on that? Like, what would
I don't know. Ole Miss? I don't know for sure. I think that was more of a shot to Pete Golding when Pete was at Alabama. And I think when he was recruiting Arch Manning, and maybe there was some back and forth with Sarkisian, I don't know if it was under the table or on top of the table, but I think that was more of a direct shot at Pete Golding than Ole Miss. But it was just kind of a good time for maybe agent chatter to kind of generate some more shots towards Ole Miss. They've been in the bullseye, I guess, here lately. And that was
which I will say, not to interrupt you,
yeah.
But if you are a person that roots for Ole Miss and you want your program to be on the rise and you want people to be aware of you, you know who never gets shots taken at them? Like, irrelevant programs that nobody cares about. Yeah. Like, if I were an Ole Miss fan, I would be invigorated by that. I'd be like, wow, we are, if Texas is thinking about Ole Miss for any reason, I think that's a positive sign. And certainly, you know, the future seems bright there after what they did last year. But go ahead, continue. Yeah, get mad, but it's like, it's a good thing if people are talking bad about you because right. They're thinking about you.
Yeah, they're shooting people on the top of the hill, not at the bottom.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, what are your general thoughts about, I mean, Texas is an opponent this year for Ole Miss. The Rebels travel to Austin to face Texas. I'm with you. I'm very bullish on Texas and Sarkisian and Arch Manning. But what is the, you know, how far can this Texas team go? Obviously, is this a team that can win the national championship?
Yeah, this is my pick to win the championship this year.
Okay.
As you'll notice on this list, there's three different players on their team that are in the top 10. And, you know, I didn't do that by design. That just is how it turned out. I think the Arch Manning thing is really interesting because a lot of people, for whatever reason, resent him. And I think that there is some just general dislike as the fact that he's a Manning and was very hyped up as a prospect. And there was this perception that he was a five-star prospect more because of his last name than his ability. And I think that, you know, I would be a liar if I don't think that his last name played a part in people viewing his pedigree or his football knowledge or, you know, how they would rate him as a prospect that's most likely to succeed. But, you know, if you actually are in the weeds with this and you look at what he brings from a measurable standpoint, arm strength, athleticism, speed, processing, all these different things. We've had a lot of NFL draft experts who come on the show and, you know, break down, and they all have arrived at the same thing, which is that this is a top five pick. And it's really not hype. Like, you know, the one thing I know for sure is that an NFL GM doesn't care what your last name is, because if you stink, you're going to get fired. And like, I think that he will be ultimately somebody that settles in. I thought he improved dramatically as the year went on last year, despite playing behind a really bad offensive line. They went in and brought another top 10 player in the country to throw to in Cam Coleman, who I think is the closest thing from a physical standpoint to Jeremiah Smith that exists in college football. They updated their running back room, two running backs that are coming in now that are both powerful runners, but each had 30 plus receptions for their teams a year ago. Like, I think that Arch Manning, even if he isn't the greatest quarterback of all time, like everybody billed him to be when he was a high, even if he's just pretty good, it's relatively impossible in my mind that he won't be at least very productive. So, you know, a lot of this list has been influenced by a lot of the NFL draft experts who come on our show and actually are watching film and looking at footwork and analyzing processing speed and, you know, turning sacks into positive plays and all these different things that the layman wouldn't be paying attention to in the game. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, is generally agreed upon about all these people that are crunching film all day is that this kid has next level traits and skill. And if you match that together with a Sarkisian offense and some of the players that they have around him, it seems like all but a certainty he's probably going to be a Heisman finalist. And Texas in general is, you know, always one of the more talented teams in the country. This year they have a ton of really good players on both sides of the ball, and I anticipate they're going to be very good.
Just there at number nine, Ahmad Hardy, a player that Ole Miss recruited heavily. In a running back, Ari, I know that you saw last year against Mississippi State had, what, 300-plus rushing yards. He's an incredible talent. Is Missouri a team that can make some noise in the SEC this year, obviously with some Ole Miss flavor and transfers, Austin Simmons and one of its best receivers, Caden Lee? Is Missouri a program that can make a little noise?
Yeah, I think that they're probably very interesting to an Ole Miss fan because of the, as you mentioned, there's a lot of crossover there between talent. And I am very curious, too. And I know we're probably going to get to the Trinidad talk, and I want to. But isn't it so funny to you? Because it has always been funny to me that, like, we are in charge of trying to be really good at projecting the future, and we're supposed to be on here making lists and telling you what's going to happen and all these different things. When the head coach of Ole Miss didn't realize what Trinidad was until someone got hurt. Like, the person who was making millions of dollars to run the program did not identify. They identified him out of the transfer portal, I should say, sorry, not high school. And they brought him in for a good reason. I'm not saying that they don't deserve any credit, but in training camp, maybe it's a reps thing. Maybe it's just, you know, your design is your design, but like Trinidad Chambliss is not, anybody has never heard of him unless, you know, Austin Simmons got hurt. So I'm very curious if Austin Simmons did win a good faith battle in Oxford, what his upside is as a quarterback, because we never really got to see it because the injury happened so earlier in the year. So like I think that Mizzou has been very consistent. I think that they've struggled a lot when they've faced the upper echelon of the league. And I don't know if they're talented top to bottom to break through that this year, but Ole Miss and has a real reason to track that because of some of the what ifs that might exist. But, you know, obviously you go with Trinidad 100 times out of 100 in this scenario. But, you know, Mizzou is an interesting team to watch. I don't know if I would have them as a playoff team off top of my head, but what if Austin Simmons is actually awesome? And that's the thing with the quarterback position in general. Like, Brock Purdy got drafted in the same draft class as Trey Lance and was drafted by what we view as the greatest quarterback coach of all time. And it took Trey Lance getting injured for them to discover Brock Purdy. It's like, how much do even the experts know? It's a very hard thing to do.
And it's, you know, we talked a lot about the list and look, this is list season and that's just kind of what it's about. And we all talk about the different top 100 players. For example, Ole Miss listed here with their top 100 players, with Lacy, with Chambliss listed among others. Let's get into Trinidad Chambliss. What were your thoughts watching Chambliss? And you kind of following up with what you said the moment ago, we were in Lexington whenever Simmons goes down. Here comes Trinidad Chambliss. Nobody knows who he is. Obviously, people inside the facility, Ari, I will tell you, were very, very impressed with the preseason camp that Trinidad Chambliss would have. And, of course, we would learn as a media corps and as a fan base and in the world of college football, Trinidad Chambliss would be a really good football player. It would finish with a run to the Fiesta Bowl. It was an incredible run, best season in modern-day history for Ole Miss. Just kind of your thoughts about Chambliss and kind of the whole process of Trinidad running this team last year.
I mean, I think that he was single-handedly one of the most sensational players that we got to watch last year, Brad. I mean, like, the hardest thing about these lists, and obviously I'm in a position to do this, you know, as a national personality for On3, but, you know, one of the things is that they put the graphic out there, and there are a lot of really, really good players out there. So when people are omitted, people just freak out. And there is no default. It's just, oh, you hate Ole Miss and you think Trinidad sucks. And it's like, no, he's probably number 11 on my list. You know, if you go look at the actual story, there was an honorable mention or names section.
Yeah, that it was right there outside of the top 10. So it's not like he wasn't listed.
Yeah, it's not like he wasn't considered or listed. The fact is that, you know, I think you can even make the case, because Andy made this case to me on our show, that I made a mistake because nobody impacted the game as much as Trinidad did last year. And also, you know, when it comes to Kewon Lacy and Ahmad Hardy, they're both really excellent players. If you want to flip the two, it doesn't really change much if one's 9 and one's 11, especially considering the fact that there's thousands of players. So, like, the difference between these two things, it sucks, because I don't want Ole Miss to feel like I'm down on them or I think that those guys aren't very good. I think they're excellent players. And watching Trinidad operate in the postseason last year was one of the best treats of the entire season. And I anticipate that they'll be very good, and they're very lucky to have him back. So, you know, what do I think of watching him operate? I think it's unbelievable story. I think that there is a lot of really cool stories in college football, but you don't really quite see ones like this very often. And in the whole transfer portal, you know, known commodity, big bucks world that we live in when it comes to quarterback transfers, like, it was really cool to see somebody choose a program knowing full well they probably weren't going to start, be given their opportunity, and not only seize it, but be sensational and lead your team on a deep run in the playoff. And I anticipate that Ole Miss will be a legitimate top 15, top 10 team this year. And you know what? If I'm wrong and it turns out at the end of the year that Trinidad had to be number 10, that's probably a pretty good proposition for Ole Miss. And I think that the fans should be excited and frankly speaking, should be upset at me. Because you are passionate about your team and you're passionate about your guys, and they certainly, you know, were considered and deserve to be in that realm. And if you see other lists, you'll probably see those names on those lists too. It's very hard to do. I try it, Brad. It's hard.
It is very hard. And we're talking the top 10 players in all of college football. So, yeah. But yeah, to be fair to Ari, who is very gracious to come on the show, it was just right outside the top 10. So I want to talk briefly about Kewon Lacy. I mean, you saw the Sugar Bowl, the incredible plays that he made, and just kind of a big-time player throughout the season and now electing to come back. And it was a really, really cool moment to see him at the end of the Sugar Bowl talking to him about being an Ole Miss Rebel, and even talked about some pre-portaling going on with some other programs. Him coming back, how big is that for Pete Golding and this Ole Miss team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge. If you look at just what he did last year, 1,500 yards and what was it, 24, 25 touchdowns, like from a production standpoint, you know, one of the most productive players in the country. And what I do think is interesting, because I'm a very big, like, talk about feelings guy, Brad, is that obviously Ole Miss went through a pretty traumatic situation last year, losing your coach, the person who helped build the team that led them to one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season in program history. Leaving when he did is hurtful. It's shocking. It's, you know, disgusting if you're the place that they're leaving. And to have so many players and coaches stick with Ole Miss when going to LSU or bailing to something else could have been an option, I think is how legends are made. So outside of his football prowess, which is on display every Saturday and everybody in the country saw, I'm always touched by people. And this goes for Ahmad Hardy, too, because he had options to leave Mizzou and he stayed. When players still to this day illustrate a loyalty and an appreciation for the programs they play at. Because when we were kids, and maybe even 7 long years ago before NIL and the transfer portal, players went to places and grew a love and appreciation for the colleges the way that we did when we were students at these places. And I feel like that's a lost art in college football. So to see two of the best players in college football illustrate that loyalty to a place that had really been, you know, put through the ringer, not to mention a coach that now is galvanizing the roster with that message of, you know, loyalty and, you know, being a rebel and all these different things. Like, I think that illustrating that with two really remarkable players is a huge plus, not just for this season, but for the crossroads that the program's in right now, which is not to, you know, fall back to the wayside after a remarkable season and lose their momentum after losing Lane Kiffin, but to build off of what they did and keep that train running with new faces leading the way and some of the familiar faces on the roster.
Let's stay there. By the way, watching or joined by Ari Washman, does a fantastic job covering college football. He, along with Andy Staples on Ari and Andy, a part of that On3 media network, do an incredible job. We appreciate him joining us here today. I want to stay along those lines and kind of stay with Pete Golding. And kind of your overall thoughts, when Director of Athletics Keith Carter made Pete Golding the head coach, what were your thoughts then? And now, what are your thoughts as Pete Golding has won a couple of playoff games and has recruited a couple of portals or a portal cycle? What are your thoughts about Pete Golding as head coach at Ole Miss?
I thought that going with a person who had been on the staff since 2018 and has the personality that Pete has was brilliant. Because what, like, Ole Miss had to turn to somebody to coach the run. Obviously, you were going to do that, but you could have named interim coach and turned into a huge circus of a coaching search after that playoff run was over. I thought it was a brilliant move. And then on top of it, how many coaches get the benefit of starting their head coaching tenures with playoff wins? You know, it's funny to say out loud, but Pete Golding has more playoff wins than Lane Kiffin already, you know, and he hasn't even coached a regular season game yet. So I think that his temperament, more than anything, has been really encouraging because he's strong and he is very Ole Miss positive. And I think that if you are a person who wants to galvanize a group of people and to attract newcomers to come join something, Pete Golding illustrates the personality traits that I would anticipate are important in that type of deal. So in terms of, you know, how he will be long-term as a head coach, I think that, you know, he has work to do, obviously, right? Like, he has to win more games. You can't just stink this year and coast off of what happened last year. You have to build this thing. But when it comes to who I would hire and how I would hire them and when I would hire them, just doing it quickly and giving him the keys to the car and allowing him to just kind of try to salvage whatever was lost. Not only did he exceed that expectation, but he now has proven that Ole Miss is, you know, maybe better off than they were before. Especially if you feel like the loyalty piece and the desire to be in Oxford is a top of your list, which it probably certainly is now after what just happened. So don't know enough about him as a head coach yet. Outside of he's won playoff games right out of the gate. I think he did a pretty good job amassing some talent and a great job retaining talent. Let's be honest. And he's passed every single test that a coach could pass with flying colors right out of the gate, in my opinion.
As we look at the schedule, it's going to be a difficult one for Ole Miss opening with the kickoff classic in Nashville against Louisville, SEC games on the road at Oklahoma, at Texas, home games against Georgia, against LSU. What are you kind of looking at from a record perspective for Ole Miss as you put it in your record machine? How do you think what is a good season, I should say, for Ole Miss this year?
Well, I mean, now Ole Miss has had a taste of it, right? I mean, I think that expectations have a funny way of changing when you've tasted something great. You know, so like if I said 9-3, I don't think that they would think that's a good season. I don't care who's on the schedule. My personal opinion would be a good season is a 10-2 record with some quality wins that get you into the CFP and gives you another shot at doing this, especially considering the fact there aren't a lot of places that have the benefit of returning a quarterback that talented and a running back that talented. They lost some pieces, sure, but they added some. And, you know, I've actually, maybe this is a cop-out, but throw it back to you. I'm very curious, like, what the tenor of the fan base is, because I'm not there every day. What is their anticipation, that they win 10 games and do it again? I would assume that's what their expectations are.
Yeah, I mean, with the talent that they have coming back, Ari, I mean, it's a 10-win kind of bar, I think, at Ole Miss. But now, and then we'll get to the final question in a little bit, but about the world of college football, what it takes to get the college football playoff, what the future looks like. Can 9-3 get you in a playoff? Depends on who you beat, who you lose to. But yes, I think it's very fair with the talent they have coming back and how well they've recruited on the defensive side of the ball. I think 10 wins is what this Ole Miss fan base expects.
So, yes, I think that 10 wins is a fair – I mean, they've got a hard schedule. What's Vanderbilt? Like, they might be okay again, right? They should be good. Florida might be much better. LSU. Yeah. And, I mean, like, also, by the way, I don't know if there's, like, a college football god out there, but the fact that the LSU game is in Oxford as the SEC opener is just peak college football, and I'm sure we're all excited about that. But that's a tough game. LSU's got a lot of good players, and Lane Kiffin's a really good coach. Man, I'm looking at their schedule closely right now. This might be one of the hardest schedules in the entire sport.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, God, LSU, Florida, Vandy, Mizzou, Texas, Auburn, Georgia, Oklahoma all in a row. I mean, that's – if they win 10 games, they're a bona fide playoff team. But to get to your last question, we get so bogged down, I think, Brad, with these SEC – commissioner talking points or these college football playoff talking points about how it's beneficial to schedule bad games in the non-conference. And we didn't even mention the Louisville game, which is one of the most interesting games of the beginning of the year. I think some people think that Louisville is a dark horse ACC championship contender, that this is somehow beneficial to your team, you know, increase your odds of getting to 10 wins. So you're just automatically invited. And what I would push back at is, you know, Texas is kind of at the crux of the matter here, because last year they won 9 games. They missed the playoff because they lost to Ohio State, but they beat 2 college football playoff teams. And you're thinking, well, see, look, Texas is the reason why we should never play teams that are really good in the non-conference, because if they would have just, you know, scheduled Tarleton State, they would have just gone to the playoff. And I think that that's probably correct. If they didn't play Ohio State, they probably would have gotten in the playoff. But I think that what we need to do is actually think about this over the long term. And just because something happened last year, bad breaks happen, does not mean that that resume that Texas put together is a disqualifying resume every year for the future. Your playoff inclusion is every bit as reliant at what is happening around you as it is with what happens with you. So, you know, last year and at this time last year, I said that this year will be the first time ever that a 3-loss team makes the playoff. And that turned out to be wrong, because there were some teams that popped out of nowhere and got to 10 wins or 11 wins that, you know, no one was anticipating. But if Miami would have lost another ACC game, or Notre Dame would have lost, I mean, you're 2 results away from that happening last year. So, you know, I think that if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're probably a little bit, overwhelmed at looking at that schedule and thinking, well, even if we're an elite level team, even if we're a national championship contender, is it really possible to only lose twice with that much talent on our schedule? I don't think it's out of the question to anticipate that if they were to beat, let's just say they win at Texas and they beat Georgia, but they lose to Florida, and, you know, they beat Oklahoma and they lose to Auburn. Like, that is a playoff resume. Now, I don't know if I can guarantee what around it happens, but this idea that scheduling easy is better is just asinine. I think scheduling hard and showing you can exist and win games on that hard schedule is the most flattering thing you can do for yourself. Some years it might not work out the way it didn't work out with Texas, but most years it's probably going to bear out. If you're a national championship contender, you're going to win regular season games that boost your resume and put you in the conversation for that playoff spot.
Ole Miss fans, look, I know we're all locked in on the Rebels. Spring football just ended, the portal, recruiting, all of that. But when the NBA playoffs hit, I've got a game on somewhere. And the best way to get in on all the action is by playing on Underdog Fantasy. In my experience, it works because it doesn't take a ton of time. You just pick higher or lower on stats and you're in. I usually keep it simple. Star guys, LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, whoever's on. No overthinking it, no spreadsheets, just something to make the games a little more interesting. While I'm half watching, half working, I'll throw together a couple of picks while I'm also refreshing recruiting updates, just like the rest of y'all. So join me. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions. CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play.
19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Ole Miss fans, a quick timeout. Because I've actually been using Underdog during these NBA playoffs, and I'm not kidding, it's kind of become part of my nightly routine. I'm already sitting there watching games, flipping around, keeping up with everything. So now I'll jump on Underdog and make a couple of picks. It's easy. You're just picking higher or lower on player stats. Points, rebounds, assists, whatever you feel good about. Like this week, I'm riding a couple of playoff scores I trust for higher on points. Maybe grabbing a big for rebounds. Nothing crazy, just going with what I'm already seeing. And that's what I like about it. Underdog doesn't feel forced. It just fits into what I'm already doing. So download the Underdog app today. Use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
I've been trying to simplify things a little bit lately, especially just day-to-day, what I'm wearing getting out the door. I don't want to overthink it, but I still want to look put together. That's kind of where Quince has slid in for me. Honestly, between practices, games, and recording, I just need stuff that works without having to think about it twice. Quince has all the staples right now for spring. Linen shirts, linen shorts, starting around $34. It's lightweight, breathable, and it actually looks good without trying too hard. Their Pima cotton tees are the same way. Super soft, easy to throw on, and they just fit right. I grabbed one of their linen shirts recently, and it's been in the rotation pretty much nonstop. It's comfortable. It breathes in this Mississippi heat, and it honestly looks nicer than stuff I've paid way more for. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/TOC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Quince is now available in Canada as well. That's Quince, quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TOC.
One more quick thing before we get you out of here, Ari. Thank you again for joining us. You can find him all over On3 along with Andy Staples at Ari and Andy. Terrific show they have on the On3 platform. You know, Lane Kiffin was a terrific coach at Ole Miss. I say that he kind of brought the team back in 2020 during COVID and just took it off like a rocket ship, recruited really well. An incredible coach. And now he's off to LSU, and it just appears, Ari, that things are continuing to billow underneath the surface. He's continuing to talk here. Social media kind of went dark. Then he goes on Barstool. And a lot of conversation pieces from LSU, not so much from Ole Miss. Just your thoughts about how Lane has transitioned and what you think he'll do at LSU.
Well, if you're an Ole Miss person, you know how the man operates. So, like, are you really surprised by anything that's happening here? The man likes being in the spotlight. He likes saying funny things. He does tweet. He is a troll. So, like, what did we expect was going to happen when he got there? That he was just going to be quiet and be a gentleman? Like, that was never who he was. You know, I kind of feel like it's interesting to hear you say that, because I think Ole Miss fans should hate him, right? Like, if I were an Ole Miss fan, I would hate him. But that doesn't mean he sucks at his job. You know what I mean? It kind of reminds me, is like, if you have a really, really gorgeous girlfriend and she cheats on you, well, you hate her, but it doesn't mean she's not pretty anymore. You know, like, that's kind of what happened here. So, like, I think that they'll be in a pretty good position. LSU made a tremendous financial commitment to him, not only in his salary, but in paying out the buyout for Brian Kelly and then amassing a budget that I'm assuming is over $40 million for their roster. You could probably, you know, do the napkin math and figure that they made a $100 million investment into this team this year. So my thought process with LSU, especially when you look at some of the individual players they have, Tredez Green and Sam Levitt and, you know, the Ty Benefield, the safety brought in from Boise, you know, Pickett, the corner. I mean, they've got so many good players. Like, they're going to be a very good team. But you know, I kind of feel like it's just unfortunate, but Ole Miss is going to have to follow that ex-girlfriend on Instagram and see her when she posts a pretty bikini picture every now and then. And you just have to stay focused on you and making sure that your team is on the right track, which it certainly is. And, you know, as heartbreaking as it might be to say, like, LSU's success has nothing to do with Ole Miss, and Ole Miss's success now has nothing to do with him. You're two very different entities, and he's going to say things. And, you know, I personally didn't understand the comment that he made in Vanity Fair. I didn't know what the upside was to that. And we talked about that on the show, but that's Lane Kiffin being Lane Kiffin. Now, Ole Miss has to get back to being Ole Miss and proving that the program is bigger than any individual person. And I think they have a really good shot to do that this year.
What are you anticipating on September 19th? Obviously, the collective world of college football will be watching that. Not necessarily the antics off the field, but how important is it, more important for LSU or Ole Miss to win that game, in your opinion, as we sit here in May?
I think it's important for both of them to win it for very different reasons. I think that, you know, if you are somebody who has been cheated on, I think that the I keep using this. I hope I don't get in trouble for using this. I keep using this strategy, but. Or this analogy, but like, you don't root for the person who cheated, you root for the person who was scorned. Like, I feel like Ole Miss was scorned, although I understand his decision to go. Like, I would root for the team that feels like they got the brunt end of the stick there. But, you know, Ole Miss has to win that game because you're at home. It's an important tentpole game. Just to take all the drama out, they need to win the game for their playoff aspirations. But there's also a territorial thing involved here. It's a rivalry. He's coming back. And I don't even know what to anticipate from a culture standpoint. You know, you're there. You tell me, like, is it going to be pandemonium? Are people going to go crazy? I've been comparing it to LeBron returning to Cleveland for the first time after he left the Cavs for the Heat. That was a pretty wild scene in Cleveland that night. So I don't know what's going to happen off the field. But what I do know is that Ole Miss needs to win that game from that standpoint. But LSU has to win that game because they made a tremendous financial commitment to this team. And if you go and lose your first SEC game out of the gate, I mean, you know, it might ultimately not matter much, you know, in the grand scheme of the season. But in that moment, like, that's not the return of the investment that you made. And I heard him talk about the patience aspect of all this. And I was just like, buddy, they hired you to win the national championship. There's no patience for the circus that you just put everybody through. So, yeah, it's going to be great. And I my hope is to be there for two things. One, the Ajax Diner experience, which is one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my entire life, and to the spectacle of the football game, and hopefully we'll meet up there when I come out.
I look forward to that. Ari Washington does a great job at On Three, partnered up with Andy Staples at Ari and Andy on the On Three Network. You can catch all their talks about college football. They do a fantastic job. Ari, thanks for joining us here today. We appreciate it.
Anytime you need me, Brad, I'm a text away. Thank you so much for having me and understanding my positions.
Absolutely. Appreciate everything you do, Ari. Thank you. See, Ari Washington does a great job covering college football. He had some thoughts about what he felt like the world of college football should look like in a top 10 format. Once again, I appreciate him coming on because here's what his top 10 was. And obviously we have some qualms with it, with Ole Miss not being mentioned outside the top, or at least inside the top 10. Outside the top 10, as we saw the Ole Miss graphic, the On Three top 100, as we see Lacey, Trinidad, they're mentioned in the top 100 players. So Ari Washington does a great job covering college football. Many have asked about Ben. Ben could not be here today. He'll be back tomorrow. And I know I'm taking some hits about having Ari on, but, man, I thought he was great, and we appreciate him coming on. I mean, I think everybody wants to have a different opinion. And I think with having Ari on, I think it was great. And Trey Freifogel, who's always jumped in and had a really good comment a little bit ago when – he said that, you know, Ari, one of the more logical and level-headed national guys. I agree. I think he and Andy do a great job. You know, we've had Andy on the show. Andy was a little more bullish on Ole Miss than Ari was this year, but that's kind of where it is. And we appreciate him coming on. I think William has a good point, 10-2 and up. And you know, to kind of talk about that just for a moment, the schedule – as Ben and I have talked about a lot, is going to be really difficult. And I've said all along, and many have said it too, the trip down to Gainesville is going to be hard. It is going to be difficult. The trip, the return trip to Oklahoma, a team that hasn't beaten Ole Miss before, is going to be hard. Auburn coming to Oxford is not going to be a gimme. On the road at Vanderbilt, it's not going to be a gimme. the opening game of the year against Louisville, although Ole Miss should be favored pretty heavily, is not going to be a gimme. And then we're not even talking about LSU, Georgia. And then you've got the Egg Bowl at the end of the year. It's a very difficult schedule. And I've said it till I'm blue in the face. Ole Miss very well could have a more talented team than last year and the record not be as good as it was last year. And I think that's very much a possibility. Many have jumped in. Of course, there's a lot of flavor going on right now with LSU and Ole Miss, the familiarity there. Former Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin is now in Baton Rouge. Former Ole Miss head coach Ed Orgeron, who won a national championship back in 2019 at LSU, is now back in the fold. It was announced yesterday the university put out that Ed Orgeron is now the assistant to the recruiting coordinator, maybe, or assistant defensive coach. I thought it was initially the assistant to the head coach, executive assistant, or not executive, but I forget the terminology here, but it just kind of back on staff and just kind of understanding the dynamics of LSU from a recruiting standpoint. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. And I saw the Hummer, I saw the Hummer commercial last night on social channels, and it tickled me just to get to see, I've got a Hummer, you need a Hummer. Boy, that was a couple of years ago, wasn't it? And being able to see Ed Orgeron back in the saddle. And people have said that he has missed it. And there's no doubt that Ed Orgeron was a really good defensive coach, both for Ole Miss and for LSU. And, of course, he won that national championship. Wasn't much of a head coach at Ole Miss when he was in town. But, yeah, Andy and Ari, a great show, and we appreciate them coming on. Chris says he thinks Ole Miss wins 8 games. I mean, if you go 8-4, it's probably a Florida bowl game and not obviously not a college football playoff team. And, you know, I've got the expansion conversations coming up, but 8-4 would be a disappointment. I mean, when you bring back this type of talent on offense, and we talked about Chambliss at quarterback, Lacey at running back, the offensive line coming back without their bookend tackles, but, you know, you get some, you know, Karis Kern can figure some things out and get back, get his head back on straight. You've got the crux of that offensive line coming back. Some question marks. We talked on offense about Deshaun Stribling. We've talked a lot about Trey Wallace, both those guys gone. Who's going to step up and be the go-to receivers with Deuce Alexander coming back? And so that's definitely going to be a question mark as a wide receiver. So we'll see. We'll see where that is. Dakota says Ole Miss wins 10 or 11. I think that's a great year. And I think Ari made a good point. You know, you got to win those games to where you may not be a huge favorite, but you've got to win all those games. You got to win all the games: the Floridas, the Auburns, the Vanderbilts, the Mississippi States, the Louisvilles. You have to win all those, and you got to split the rest of them. Got to get to 10 or 11, and That's going to be a tall task. Dakota King, Oklahoma is odd. Everyone's talking about it. Florida will not win without scares, no doubt. Texas is sketchy. That's on the road. Remember, you got to go face Arch Manning on the road. Steve Sarkisian's already taking some shots at Pete Golding, so you know there's plenty of bulletin board material there. At that game in Austin, Georgia and Oxford is going to be tough. Vandy, you have to wonder if Jared Curtis is going to be the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt when they go on the road. And then LSU season defends on Sam Leavitt. Are they going to be, you know, is Sam going to be ready to go? Everything, you know, I think the latest report was a week or so ago that Lane had made mention that Sam's going to be ready to go by the season. So that's kind of, you know, where LSU season is. And I asked Ari that question, is it more important for Ole Miss or LSU to win that game on September 19th? What about you in the chat? We've got a lot of folks chiming in. We appreciate it very much. Who has an opportunity or who needs that game more? I mean, off the field, you know, I think Ole Miss would love to win that game just to, for the lack of a better word, shut everybody up on social channels. But in between the lines, who does it matter more? Does it matter more to LSU season or Ole Miss season? And I asked Ari just a moment ago, and he said it matters really to both. And I think that's a good point because from an LSU standpoint, it's really important. It's the first conference game. You've got a $40-plus million roster. They, just like Ole Miss, have a very difficult schedule. So they need it really, really bad. Lane has, you know, made mention that it's an opportunity, you know, for fans and everyone to understand this LSU job is not just a year one job. It's a year two and three. And I don't know how well that's going to play with the fan base, but I think he's speaking a lot of truth. I mean, I understand the amount of NIL money that's been flown in and been trucked in to LSU, and I get all that. But Ole Miss is in a better position, I think, from a roster standpoint than LSU, simply because of who they return, the experience they return. But everyone knows, everyone in the chat knows, everyone knows watching and listening, the world of NIL, you have no idea what to experience because, as Pete Golding said at the beginning of spring practice when people were asking about the wide receiver room, he said, guys, nobody really knew anything about DeJohn Stribling. No one really knew anything about Harrison, Trey Wallace. And then look what happened when the season began. Look what happened at the end of the year whenever Trey Wallace and DeJohn Stribling were the go-to receivers. So I think that's what's fascinating to me is what receivers step up for Ole Miss. We mentioned that a little bit ago. I want to talk briefly before we get out of here today. Ben will be back tomorrow, by the way. Thanks for everybody that's asking. But Ben will be back tomorrow, and we want to thank Ari Wasserman from On3 for joining us. Defensively, I had people inside the program say that they believe that this Ole Miss linebacker room may be one of the best in modern history. And I think if you look at what Ole Miss is bringing back from a linebacker perspective, Luke Ferrelli, boy, he is a very talented linebacker. And you partner him up with the linebackers already on staff or on the roster now, and I think it's going to be a really, really fun year for this Ole Miss defense. Look, that defensive front, in years past, you know, you always talk about the Ole Miss defensive front by not having the top-end talent and not having the depth, and just other programs throughout the country have much better defensive fronts. But with Cam Franklin coming in, or Cam Franklin anchoring this team along with William Echols, and just seeing those guys and seeing – hopefully you get a healthy Jordan Renaud very soon to help there, Jonathan Maldonado. I think the defensive front could be really, really good for Ole Miss. And, you know, you kind of partner that up with how well we think that linebacker room is going to be. Plus, they've got a ton of talent in off the portal in that back half of the secondary. I think Pete Golding really likes this defense. And this is a defense to where we know when Ole Miss was struggling, and the Fiesta Bowl late in the game when Miami was kind of doing what they wanted to, Ole Miss just didn't have the depth to compete. I think this year they're going to have that depth when it matters. I want to thank all of our sponsors, of course, our good friends at Riverland Roofing. Our good friends at Riverland Roofing, call them today, 662-644-4297, or go online and give them a click there at riverlandroofing.com. They can take care of all of your roofing needs. I get calls all the time seeing Parker Caracci was out. Everybody remembers Parker as being a talented pitcher for Ole Miss. He's on the Riverland Roofing team, and I had someone text me the other day. Said Parker Caracci was out talking to him. They talked some ball and got some things worked out for their roof. So give everybody at Riverland Roofing a call today, and they would love to be able to help you out. Our title and presenting sponsors are good friends at Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Go by and do me a favor. Just go find. Pull up and say, I need to speak to Greta Morgan at once. And when you see Greta, tell her that Brad Logan sent you by, and she will put you in a brand new Jeep Cherokee. I know they've got them on the lot. And if it's not the Cherokee, ask about the Wagoneer. Ask about the Dodge Ram truck getting you ready. If you're a camper, you need that fifth wheel, they've got the Dodge Ram that can take care of you. You can get that camper to the campground. If you're making that cross-country trip, get that really cool Dodge Ram truck, or get that Jeep Grand Cherokee, or maybe you want to take the whole family, get the Wagoneer. Ask for Greta Morgan or give them a call today, 662-234-8000, or give them a shout online at allensamuelsoxford.com. Our good friends at Seaspire, they've been a proud partner here on the Talk of Champions. If you're not with Seaspire, you're missing out. All of my devices, my wireless and everything, my home internet and everything, it is with Seaspire. Just give them a call today, or go online to cspire.com. Make that change. And as we always know, cspire is customer inspired. If you're getting a haircut, and I need one, I've got to get to Game Day Haircuts of Oxford. They're located right there at 1735 A University Avenue. Give them a call at 662-380-5658. book that appointment today. Every time I go in there, they're just absolutely covered up. So it's a good thing to call ahead and get on the schedule and to get a haircut today. It's in the same building or in the same complex as Walk-Ons behind the old Burger King on University Avenue. You can get there easy, but go ahead and give them a call or go online today and book that appointment and go see the good folks at Game Day Haircut. Tell them you heard about it on the Talk of Champions. Our good friend Philip Hearn and the Hearn Law Firm, 662-766-7777 at hearnlawfirm.net. He has locations all across the Southeast. And any type of legal need that you have, if you have a legal problem, just give Philip a call today. He will call you back directly. He'll give you a cell phone. He's got it on him at all times. You can text him or call him, but give the office a call today to get everything started at 662-766-7777. And a brand new sponsor. We're going to be starting out with his video ads and banner ads soon at the 1st of June. We want to thank Shed Hunger, who's at Modern Woodman of America in Winona, Mississippi. And Shed is a Ole Miss fan and very excited that he's a part of the Ole Miss Talk of Champions Ole Miss family. Give Shed a call today in Winona. If you have any type of financial need, whether it be insurance, investing, Shed can absolutely hook you up and he can get you in the right spot. Or go by and see him anytime from 9 to 5 on 210 Summit Street in Winona, or give him a call at 662-442-4723. That's Shed Hunger at Modern Woodman Financial Services, Modern Woodman of America. Couldn't do what we do without all of you that watch and listen and share everything on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. We're so excited about what's to come. Pre-game and post-game shows for Ole Miss football are coming, and they're taking shape, and we're so excited to share some news for you, both from a pre-game standpoint and a post-game standpoint. That's kind of where Ben and I began, honestly, we were in the press conference, and I was kind of doing my thing. He was kind of doing his, and I said, or we kind of got together and said, hey, let's do a little something at the end of the game, and that little something turned into a big something. And I'm so excited that it grew into the Talk of Champions, our partnership with Mudcat Media. You'll see Sudu and the Game Runs Deep here on Mudcat Media. And, of course, the Talk of Champions. And there's a lot more to come. And we're so excited to continue to grow with our sponsors, with Mudcat Media, and, of course, with you. We couldn't do what we do without you. And there's so many people in the chat. And if I started naming, I would get lost, because of all the people that make this show so special, and all the people that stop us wherever we are, whether it be in Hoover. I was in Tuscaloosa for the series. We were on the road to Phoenix. We were on the road to New Orleans, and the collaboration we had with the Ole Miss Alumni Association on the road. It was just really cool. And it's really cool getting to see all of you, and I truly mean this. And I had my daughter with me in Tuscaloosa, and then we'll get out of here with this. And I had so many people walk up and said, wow, that has to be yours. And I said, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, it is. And my daughter goes a lot of places with me, and truly all of you in the chat, and Ben will tell you the same thing. You are like our family. You truly are. I mean, I was at the Vault Society, not Vault Society, but the Grove Collective event in the outfield the other day. And people were walking up, and it was, you know, people that I saw in Phoenix and people that I see in Vault Hemingway. And it truly is, I've said this once, I'll say it 1,000 times, it will never change. What I do is truly a labor of love. I mean, I get to talk to people like you in the general public. I get to talk to people like Ari Wasserman, who joined us earlier today. I get to see people like, I get to hear Pete Golding every week, you know, tell me about what's to expect with the opponents and how the team's doing. I get to talk to people like David Kellum, the voice of the Rebels, and get his thoughts on the games. And it just, I don't take it lightly. I truly don't. It's truly a lot of fun from somebody that just kind of grew up in the media relations business when I was at Delta State and kind of got out of it and got back in it. And not a traditional journalist. I mean, there's some terrific traditional journalists on the beat, and I'm definitely not one. And I'm honored to be that way. And I think there is a place for every single Ole Miss fan out there. There's some terrific people that cover the Ole Miss Rebels that do a great job. And they all have, in many ways, their specialty. Because if you're looking for a specific coverage of one specific program, there's probably a beat reporter for you, whether it be a written perspective, an audio perspective, or video perspective. And that's the cool part about that. And I've really enjoyed getting to know a lot of these folks. And I truly believe that all a rising tide lifts all boats. I truly believe that good coverage for Ole Miss in many different areas by many different outlets is only better for the program, for you, the person that enjoys Ole Miss athletics. So the more coverage there is, the more you have to ingest that coverage and just enjoy it, because a lot of you are just like me. I said a long time ago that there are few places I would rather be than a stadium. And one of the best feelings in the world is right before they kick it off and they do the national anthem, you have a flyover. That gets you going. And truly, the two events this year, the home win that Ole Miss had over Tulane, being able to be a part of that and broadcasting before the game from there on Talk of Champions and the post game, the Talk of Champions, was one of the coolest moments I've ever had an opportunity to be a part of. And then the Sugar Bowl win in New Orleans, the pregame at Manning's, and being able to have postgame there at New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl. But being able to be inside that facility and to see all the Ole Miss fans so happy. You know, Ole Miss football and Ole Miss athletics is a part of all of us. And just being able to share it with all of you is truly a labor of love. I want to thank all of you for joining us here today. I want to thank all of our sponsors that helped make the show today possible. I want to thank Ari Wasserman for On Three for joining us. He's, of course, has a great show with Andy Staples at Ari and Andy. That's a part of the On Three media family. For Ben Garrett, I'm Brad Logan. We'll talk to you probably tomorrow, and we've got a full slate, a ton of guests coming up. And also want to talk about our conversations piece around town that I'm kind of doing. I've got a couple of people lined up for next week, so I look forward to talking with some folks in regards to Oxford and Ole Miss, maybe not necessarily athletic-related, but very similar to what we did for Sparky Reed. I don't thank Jeff Robertson very much for his help for that as well. So thank you all for joining us. A lot more to come. And we look forward to telling you all about it here on the Talk of Champions. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.